Hi, I'm Melanie Graves, and when I'm not helping business owners find the best location to lease or buy, I'm listening to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank.
Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank. I'm your host, Mary Foley, and this is episode 9. In each episode, we talk with experts right here in the New Orleans area who share their insights, recommendations, and expertise to help you grow your business. We're talking experts like Donald Peltier, who explained why SBA loans should not be overlooked to grow your business, and Monica Pierre on how to increase your business impact with storytelling. I know, loans to fund your business growth and storytelling to inspire your ideal clients. We have got you covered. To get these episodes and more right now, just go to fidelitybankpower.com. You can listen ASAP, and you can subscribe to get access on your phone to take wherever you go. Just click on the app icons to download either the iTunes app if you have an iPhone or the Stitcher app if you have an Android phone. And then you click on the app, create a free account, and you can start listening. Now for today's guest. Today we're talking with Melanie Graves, commercial realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Every day, she helps business owners who need to lease or purchase space to meet their business goals. Remember when you looked for your first apartment, and then a bigger one, and then eventually your own home? Well, each time it was exciting and a bit unnerving, right? Well, imagine needing that same evolution of growth in space for your business. Likely, it's going to happen. And that's when you need to know what to anticipate and to talk to someone like Melanie. Melanie, welcome to the Power Plug Podcast.
Hi, Mary. Good to be with you here today.
I am glad you're here, too. I want to jump right in because I know one of the most common things you help business owners do is to find the right space in the right location for the right price to lease. Now, it sounds easy enough, but then I remember leasing my first apartment as a young adult. And there was a whole lot more to consider and figure out than I first imagined. So help us get up to speed so we can make smart decisions for our business. But first, what are the most common reasons why business owners and entrepreneurs need to lease in the first place?
Well, Mary, business owners look at leasing versus buying for a number of reasons. Number one, they think investing their capital in their business, because it's growing at a faster pace than the local market, is a much wiser idea. So therefore, they choose to lease. Mm-hmm. Also, when you plan for the lease term of your lease, you can have it coincide with your growth plans or your downsizing plans. It's a much more flexible option. If you know you're going to be growing in 3 years, it's easier to have a three-year lease than it is to buy and then sell in 3 years. You never know where the market's going to be in 3 years. And with a lease, it gives you a lot of flexibility. Also, tenant improvement allowances enable lower capital outlays in order to have an entry point. So every business has a business process that requires a different layout in the building. And the tenant improvement allowances allow you to get in, have it set up for your business and ready to go. Also, it can be an alternative to working out of their home, give themselves a professional image if they've grown to that point.
Well, yeah, and I think all of us would love those ideas. And flexibility is, I think, really key in today's marketplace because you're not sure necessarily the longer-term plan. We would like to know, but I can see why that would be great. I love the idea of someone else paying for the improvements to the space or the changes for my business. I got to figure out how to do that in my personal home. But anyway, that's not what this conversation is about. And then, an alternative to working at home and kind of that next level of business growth. Well, when I did my lease of my first apartment, I found it by responding to ads or visiting leasing offices of apartment complexes. Those four lease signs are often on office buildings or retail space. I can often drive by and I can see those either hanging off the side of the building or posted up as a big sign. Should I just call that number?
You can do that, although you're foregoing representation. Leases are written for the benefit of the landlord. And so if you have a buyer, a tenant, commercial agent, they'll help you negotiate your needs up front and help you clarify the information in the lease.
Okay, so they could help me figure out if for that space, but also they could help me figure out if, I mean, I don't have to initially drive around town. They might know of some other spaces if I haven't seen the signs up too.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They can pull a lot of data for you so you don't have to spend all the time driving around, see what really fits your needs, and then go out and look at those spaces.
Okay, because I wonder sometimes, it's easier for me to imagine buying a new home, one, because I've done it, but you can kind of drive through neighborhoods, right? You can see the houses, you can see townhouses, but when it comes to commercial space, sometimes they're, I don't know, kind of hidden, like, oh, I didn't know that building had additional space, or I didn't know this whole area of town because I don't drive by it, you know, on an ongoing basis. So that sounds like something a commercial realtor should know, those, that kind of footprint, should know where all the spaces are in a geographic location. Am I right?
Absolutely. And a lot of businesses feed off of other type of businesses. So you can get business synergies inside of the retail centers as well that the layman may or not realize are there.
So give me an example of a business synergy so I can wrap my head around that.
Well, you can have an interior designer. You can have a rug shop. You can have a construction man. All of those sorts of things all relate to the business of a building. And if you're going in order to buy a new rug, you might very well decide you want to pop into the interior designer next door because you're just not sure how to handle the space. It's all gotten to be too much for you. Or if you're looking to go and do a restaurant, well, you have a pizza restaurant, and if you're having a pizza restaurant, you want one right next door to it. But if you're doing a seafood restaurant, you have two different style of restaurants where the clientele can feed off of each other, which is always a nice synergy.
Mm-hmm. And I've never seen a seafood pizza, by the way. So they're not going to be in competition. I mean, those are totally
exactly.
Different kinds of, yeah, dinner options. So now, and that's, I can really understand that from a retail point of view. If I have a business that, you know, is a B2B kind of business, right? It's a business to business. I might be in an office complex, or that might be space that makes more sense. Are there synergies that sometimes can happen even in that type of situation?
Sure. I've had, something that's retail and something that's not retail. You have a spa and then you have a travel agency. Well, those may not seem like they work real well together, but generally they have the same clientele.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's great. Yeah. And I would not have thought of that right off as someone looking to lease.
Right.
I would just think, well, I need 1500 square feet, or I need it to be in this geographic location, and not necessarily thinking about other businesses that may be right around that we could leverage off one another. Okay.
That's right. And you also want to look at parking situations.
Mm.
You want two companies that are going to be high volume parking in the same parking lot. Whereas if you had somebody that doesn't require much parking, like they had a photo studio that I placed by a hair salon, the two worked well together because the photo studio really didn't require a lot of parking. So there was always parking for the hair salon, and there was always parking for the photo studio.
And I guess, in fact, even the people came to the hair salon, well, they may not have needed that photo studio at that time, but the photo studio benefited from lots of eyeballs seeing the fact
that
they're there and that they exist. Okay.
Exactly.
Alrighty. You are making us a lot smarter. All right. So to get us that smarter, to be smarter about commercial real estate, does having a commercial real estate agent like yourself cost me more money as a business owner?
Well, that's the beautiful part of it. Generally speaking, the property owner pays the commissions. Mm. So it doesn't cost you anything.
So
you get extra benefit and it doesn't cost you anymore.
Oh, great. I do like that. And perhaps with these tenant improvements, meaning that the landlord may be willing to pay or put some money towards me making some changes to the space to meet my business?
Correct. Because they know that every business has different needs. So in order to meet their space, a lot of times you'll see them advertised as vanilla boxes. And then you can come in. They have dollars allocated in order to tailor it to meet your needs.
Okay, so that sounds like it's not necessarily an exception. Oh, yeah, it's really exceptional. It's unique that we give you some tenant improvement dollars. It sounds like it's really common and that we should expect a certain amount of tenant improvement dollars.
Well, it depends upon your base rent as well. So, depending upon market, depending upon base rent, all of these are negotiable terms. And so if you're going to expect a lot of tenant improvement, then you can expect to pay a higher base rent. Mm-hmm. If you're okay, this space looks exactly like the space I need, there's no tenant improvement, might be able to negotiate a better base rate.
All right. Yeah. So I keep thinking, going back to the times when I leased an apartment, I don't remember hardly any negotiation on that. Listen, it's, $750
right.
a month. That's it. Oh, yeah. If you do sign up for a 6-month lease, then it's, $775 perhaps. And then if you do a 12-month lease, it's $750. I mean, that might be the max of it wasn't even a negotiation. It was just two options that they offered. So
right.
it sounds
right.
a lot more complex. So what should I look for when choosing a commercial real estate agent to help me with this new space?
Well, I'd say the number one thing you want to look for is a skilled negotiator, intent on a win-win situation. When you get a deal, usually the other party loses something. So you want somebody that's going to help you look to make the business work on both sides of the street, the landlord's side of the street, as well as your side of the street, because you're going to be in a working relationship with this person going forward. So you want to make sure you build a very good relationship. The other thing you want to look at is whether or not this person has any business experience, because really we're business consultants. We're helping you find a place in order to get your business up and running with the most amount of ease and the best situation for you. So we really need to understand and be knowledgeable about a lot of different businesses.
I would never have thought of that right off. I would just focus on the fact that about leasing and buying, and I don't when it comes to commercial space. And obviously you do need to know that way more than I do. But then that whole idea of the business experience, so you could start to put yourself in my shoes, right, a lot more easily.
Exactly.
I love that.
I'll be able to understand your point of view.
Casey, you have made this whole leasing thing a whole lot more understandable. We're going to take a quick break, so let's press pause. And when we come back, I've got some more questions for you, so hold on. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, in charge of power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman in business, you know that it all comes down to great relationships with your customers, employees, suppliers, and your bank. That's why we're excited about our new Power Program. We have designed to meet not only your financial needs to grow your business, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our online Power Member Directory, member-only Facebook group, sponsored events, or more, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley, and today we're talking with Melanie Graves, commercial realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And Melanie, I'm already feeling a big exhale knowing I could partner with someone like you to find the right space to lease and negotiate on my behalf. For us to be a real team, what are some of the key things that I need to understand about leases so that I'm making the best decision for my business?
Okay, first thing you want to do is prioritize your needs. It's imperative you understand exactly what is important and why it's important to you. And the reason why you want to do that is because there's many aspects of a lease. So there are many negotiating points. Is the month-to-month rent that you're paying the most important thing? Are you better off to pay something extra in order to have more parking spaces? Do you need visibility in your location, or do you not need visibility in the location? All of those things will come into play when you go to negotiate your lease. You need to have a win-win attitude so that the landlord can make his business profitable, and you can keep your business profitable. And you generally start the negotiations with an LOI, which is a letter of intent. And in that letter of intent, there's many different points and ways to negotiate that you outline. You outline the lease terms, the base rate, tenant improvement allowances, TI, common area maintenance, which is CAM, whether they're reconciled on a yearly basis or not, signage, parking spaces, how and who pays the expense for the HVAC, and also whether you're including option terms in your lease. So as you can see, there's a lot of different things in the lease that you need to pay attention to.
You're not kidding. Oh, my gosh. So when you were saying about variables before, that there's a lot of things that you can negotiate from. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to call that number on the sign. All right. Without talking to you, because there's way too many things there. So this letter of intent. All right. So at what point does a letter of intent kick in?
Generally speaking, we meet, we find the right location, generally a couple of right locations, and then we will submit a letter of intent that outlines the major needs that the person has in order to lease the space. And then the people will respond back to us to say, you know, whether it works for them or it doesn't work and why it doesn't work, what they would like to see in its place. And then you can find the one that works out best for you.
Okay. So can we quickly walk through what all those pieces of the LOI, somewhere to get the terms down, the letter of intent, like starting with the lease term and going all the way to HVAC. I think that might be helpful. So we kind of at least get a broad understanding of each one of those.
Okay. So what we try to do is we try to hit the ones that are very important to the leasing.
Okay.
If the amount that they're paying per month is the most important, we definitely want that on there.
Mm-hmm.
If they're open to a 3-year lease, well, then maybe they can get a little bit better term on their base rate. They want a 5-year lease, you can get even a better term. You really don't know where you're going to be in a year, so you don't want to negotiate on that point. You want to have the lease term in there. So that's how the lease term is important to have in there.
Okay.
Tenant improvements, again, it might be important to you, or the space might look perfect just the way it is, in which case you don't have to put it in there. So all of these are particular to your needs, which is why I started off by saying, hey, prioritize your needs first, because mm-hmm. you really want the basic elements that are most important to you in the lease, so that when you do get to the actual lease, the major things are pretty well worked out. And then you see what the landlord has for all of these other things in the lease, and then you can negotiate those at that point in time.
Okay.
So who does the repairs for the HVAC?
Mm-hmm.
It might come back that the landlord's going to pay those. It might come back that the lessee's going to pay those. And the lessee might say, well, you know, I'm okay with paying the first $100, but beyond that, it's really going to blow my budget. So then you negotiate on that point. And every lease is different. There's not a boilerplate lease.
Wow. So let's say there's a whole shopping center, right? And from a retail point of view, there's one after another, after another, after another, you know, of different types of businesses. What you're telling me then is every single person, business owner that's leasing a space in that shopping center has a different lease with the landlord?
Generally speaking, the lease is the same. It's a boilerplate lease.
Uh-huh.
But the variables within those leases vary. One person can have a 1 year, next person can have a 3 year. Very small space, the landlord might be willing to pay for the HVAC repairs. For a big grocery store, they probably are not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it really depends upon a lot of different variables as to what's going to meet their business expectations in order to have that lease work for the landlord, as well as have that lease work for the tenant.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about CAM, you said. That what has to do with maintenance, right?
Correct. Common area maintenance fees. So those are really for upkeep of the common area. The landscaping, outdoor lighting, trash, if they're sprinkling the landscape, those sorts of things. Those are not as negotiable. Although if you know the marketplace, I ran into a situation where a lady was renewing her lease and the CAM was at $15.50. And I noticed that the person that he had just leased the space to, it was at $14. So we were able to negotiate $1.50 per square foot off of her lease.
Hmm. Nice.
So knowing the marketplace when it comes to CAM is important.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just want to make sure you know what they are and whether or not you can reconcile them at year end, and you can call them quarterly and say, hey, how are your expenses coming along? Are they coming along on budget? Are you starting to see that it's over? Are you starting to see that it's under? Because a lot of times if it's over or under, the tenant is responsible for picking up those extra expenses or getting reimbursed. And so it's important that they know about that so that they do reconcile it.
Mm, okay. Yes, I wouldn't even thought of that. Of course, I'm showing my ignorance. Like, what? All the outside. Isn't somebody else take care of that? That's the landlord's, problem or just their expense. But actually, you're saying, nope, you contribute to that upkeep that's happening.
That's right.
Now, in a geographic area, if I was looking at, some space, and let's just take that situation of a shopping center, and maybe another situation that's since that's so retail, but another one where it might be an office park, more so of a lot of B2B. If I were working with you and I was looking at one individual space, would you have access to find out what the lease terms are for the spaces around me to be able to negotiate with? Or is that like confidential information?
Both. A lot of cases, it's information that's shared, and in some cases they keep it confidential.
Okay.
So generally what you try to do is you definitely try to look like the one I did. That was in the same space. That was, apples to apples. Otherwise, you try getting something that's in the general area and say, well, this is a market and this is generally what it is.
Okay. All right. Wow. See, this is why somebody like you is so helpful, because I wouldn't even know where to look. You know, it's not like you can Google it necessarily. It sounds like you find it out.
Right.
Well,
you pay for databases when you're in the industry in order to get the information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So what are some of the most common mistakes that business owners and entrepreneurs make when it comes to leasing space?
Big, big, big one, not reading the lease.
Huh.
Because it has all of this technical stuff in it. And they're like, I need to go do this. I need to go do that. I need to go do this. Well, I know what the general ones are, and it seems like it'll work. But they really, really, really need to read that lease and not rely on the LOI to give them all of their information.
So the LOI sounds like that's the starting place of
exactly.
Putting it in
the
writing
leases.
Of what I want,
right.
But then you go back and forth, but then the actual lease itself becomes the official agreement.
That is the official document. You
okay.
Got it. Everything is outlined in there.
Uh-huh.
And so you really want to sit down and have the time to focus and comprehend it. And when you do that, that's a good time to bounce the questions off your realtor and say, hey, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we can help clarify it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that's really particular to your situation, well, maybe you got to speak to your lawyer.
Because
before you sign it.
Yeah, because exactly. I'm assuming, I guess I jumped to it going, well, listen, if we've negotiated the letter of intent, isn't the lease just a reflection of that? But maybe it's not completely.
Got a lot more detail in it. That's why some of them are 8 pages long. So they got a lot of details in there. And again, it's
mm-hmm.
written for the landlord's benefit. So
okay.
You want to make sure you understand all of them before you sign.
Right. All right. So we're not going to make the mistake, because we've listened to this podcast. We've gotten your advice. We're going to read the lease. Is there something else I need to be watching for to not do? So I don't make another bad mistake as a business owner or an entrepreneur.
Right. A couple other things you'll probably want to keep in mind. When you are ready to sign the lease, you get a property inspection. So you go through a little bit of a due diligence on the property, find out if there's anything wrong, and you try to get those corrected before you actually sign the lease, because your negotiating power is better at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you want to look out for is once you've signed the lease, and you're ready to renew, You don't renew automatically. You go ahead and give your realtor a call and say, hey, I'm getting ready to renew this lease. Are there any new opportunities out there that I can take, that I should take into account that might change my decision?
Very savvy. Man, you're making us so powerful.
You're leaving money on the table. It very well could be. Or you could, that carpet that you've been kind of coming in every morning looking at and going, oh, I really don't like this. Yeah, you could have a brighter day every day by getting the carpet changed.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
I want to switch gears for a second and ask you personally, what's the moment in your journey that inspired you to do what you're doing now?
Well, I reached a point when I was able to reflect on all of my past working experiences, my aptitudes, my education, and my passions. And I've worked in numerous industries managing their business operations. I'm a certified financial planner as well as a certified mediator. And I found that real estate and finding solutions for people were passions for me. And so all of this led me to be a proactive and passionate commercial realtor.
You know what? I think that is such a unique combination that, you know, a certified financial planner and a certified mediator and then experience in different industries. I mean, wow, that's way more than understanding about buildings and leases. That's fantastic to really bring that to bear for every client. That's really neat. That's great. That's great. I cannot believe, though, Melanie, we are out of time already. It's been so fun talking to you. If someone wants to get in touch with you to ask you more questions, maybe talk about their situation, what's the best way they can do that?
The best way is they can call my cell phone at 214-755-0704. Or if they'd like to call a local line, they can call my office number at 985-674-5616. And of course, if they prefer to write, they can email me at mmelanie.graves0402@yahoo.com.
Thank you again for your time today, Melanie. It's been fun.
Thank you.
All of us have powerful people in our lives, just like the one on today's Power Plug podcast. Our Power program is unlike any other in our region. At Fidelity, we're bringing amazing women together to be part of something special. We not only have banking and financial options with women entrepreneurs in mind, we also provide opportunities for you to make valuable connections and to promote your business. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you, just like we do.